Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel has rolled out what he calls a menu of options for implementing the 10-year budget cuts called for under sequestration. He says none are good, and they can't be implemented quickly enough to achieve the budget savings the law calls for. Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu has more.
This was, as you guys will remember, the strategic choices and management review that Secretary Hagel ordered, you know, almost immediately after he took office earlier this year. And the point of the whole exercise really was to say, you know, obviously we're still not fans of sequestration. We think it's harmful, but we need to start getting our heads around what it means over the, you know, the longer term if Congress continues to stay gridlocked on undoing it in some way. And maybe we can implement the cuts a little more sensibly than they were put into place this year. And it essentially produced three different options. One of them is that the president's budget, all the work is already done there, so not a lot of news. Another is full sequestration as it's written into law. And then there's kind of an arbitrary middle ground option, which would be $250 billion in cuts over 10 years. But most of those cuts would go toward, as they call it, the out years, the future years, not immediately. And we don't have anything close to, you know, line item detail on what DOD would do under those second two options. But Hagel did give some broader strokes on spending reductions and everything from pay and benefits to management and overhead to acquisition to force structure. And within those last couple categories, there's a couple sub-options, if you will. One of them prioritizes force structure, the size of the military, if you will, and tries to protect that. But it means taking, as Hagel put it, a 10-year holiday on procurement. Within that, the other option would be to trade off smaller forces for better equipped, more technologically capable forces. But within those trade-offs, you have things like going from 12 aircraft carriers down to 8 or 9, cutting 5 tactical aircraft squadrons from the Air Force, pretty dramatic cuts in the size of the Army and the Marine Corps. So from all that, I think clearly one of the other objectives here is to communicate to Congress, you know, this is some of what your military looks like, we think, under this level of sustained cut. But all of that said, I think one of the most important takeaways, and again, messages to Congress, might be what you'll hear in this clip from Hagel.
If DOD combines all the reductions I've described, including significant cuts to the military size and capability, the savings fall well short of meeting sequester-level cuts, particularly during the first 5 years of these steep, decade-long reductions. The reality is that cuts to overhead, compensation, and forces generate savings slowly. With dramatic reductions in each area, we do reach sequester-level savings, but only toward the end of a 10-year time frame. Every scenario the review examined showed shortfalls in the early years of $30 to $35 billion.
So to put that another way, they're saying they basically can't get to the $500 billion that are part of the Budget Control Act. And Hagel says those shortfalls that he talked about in the first few years will be even worse if Congress doesn't approve some of the things DOD has asked for to save some money. It's like another round of BRAC, the TRICARE healthcare fee increases it's asked for, and things like slowing the growth in military pay rates.
So, Jared, why can't they get to the full sequestration levels right away? Is it simply that they're worried about readiness?
Yeah, I mean, readiness is definitely a big factor. And, you know, we've heard for months from the department as they've gone through the exercise of doing this in 2013 that, you know, the quote is, we've got to go where the money is and things that can be cut quickly and easily, even if that's painful in a lot of cases. And we know how that's played out in 2013, obviously, that easily accessible money turns out to be in operations and maintenance accounts for the most part. So civilian salaries, military training, maintenance on buildings and equipment, steaming hours for the Navy, flying hours for the Air Force and Navy. And as you kind of indicated, DOD says it's already dug itself some serious holes in those readiness areas and really can't afford to let those go any further. They say they're already a start in a hole in 2014 that they would need additional money to start to dig out of. That doesn't look like it's coming. This is Admiral James Winnefeld, the vice chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff.
The most damaging element of this whole process for us is the speed at which the reductions hit us. Particularly in the case of the full Budget Control Act cuts. They're sudden and deep rather than gradual, but we are limited in how fast we can or should reduce the number of people in our department, and we're limited by legislation in the ways that we can cut other parts of our budget. So unless we can backload, as the Secretary said, all we can really do in the early years of this thing is grab money wherever we can, which will be principally out of modernization and readiness. And that is what makes the early years of these cuts particularly disruptive to our ability to defend the nation.
So what has Hagel told us so far about what DOD thinks could be sacrificed out of the current plans so that they can start to get to where they have to be under the Budget Control Act?
Yeah, the details are not incredibly abundant yet. And I should say the department's going out of its way right now to make sure everyone understands that these are not recommendations or decisions at this point. They're just potential options for the hard choices that might still be coming as they plan for 2015 and beyond. But we did get some level of detail yesterday. I kind of alluded to the option to reduce the size of the Army even further than they're already planning. That's one that might get the most attention. Senior officials told us yesterday that this review started with the idea that the defense strategic guidance that came out last year should be kind of held intact as much as possible. So, you know, the rebalance to the Asia Pacific is still kind of the cornerstone of that. But they determined that could be accomplished with an army that's as small as 420,000 compared to the 490,000 active duty that's planned right now. And if they decide, I mentioned that tradeaways before, if they decide to trade away size for technology, they could go as low as 380,000. I mentioned some of the other areas like compensation and management before. Just to take another couple examples from that menu, DOD says it could change military health care for retirees to try and push them into private sector insurance if they have that available to them, reducing COLAs for overseas living, continuing to limit pay raises for civilians and military. And on management, we've already heard about that directive that kind of leaked out from Hagel a couple weeks ago to reduce the size of all the headquarters staff all around the world by 20%. He says he's decided to go ahead and move ahead with that now, along with a couple of other things, which is reducing the number of direct reports to the Secretary of Defense by consolidating some of those jobs and even eliminating some of them, and reducing the amount of intelligence analysis that's done at the combatant command level. Hagel says those overhead changes would save about $40 billion over the next decade. And he says also that they are prudent whether sequestration stays in place or not.
Past efficiency campaigns have shown that implementation can be very challenging. So effective follow-through is critical if savings targets are to be realized. This is especially true of OSD reductions. I've asked Deputy Secretary Carter to identify someone from outside DOD who is deeply knowledgeable about the defense enterprise and eminently qualified to direct implementation of the OSD reductions and report to the Deputy Secretary. In addition to the measures I've described, the review identified additional consolidations and mission reductions that could be required if sequester level caps are imposed over the long term. These measures include consolidations of regional combatant commands, defense agency mission cuts, and further IT consolidation. These changes would be far-reaching and require further analysis and consideration.
So, Jared, he takes this to Capitol Hill today, and then what happens?
Yeah, that's right. We're hoping to get some more detail during testimony before the Armed Services Committees today from Ash Carter, the Deputy Defense Secretary, and Winnefeld, who you heard before. From the DOD perspective, though, again, as I said, this doesn't represent decisions, but they say it's going to inform how they decide to put together budgets in 15 and beyond, assuming sequestration is not changed. So what they're doing is they're going back to each of the individual military services with this kind of menu and saying, okay, build two different budgets, essentially. Build what you would do as the president's budget, as you would every year, and then build a parallel budget that tries to comply with sequestration to the extent possible, using this management review as kind of your guideposts. So they'll be doing two budgets at least for 15, as if those budget folks in DOD don't have enough going on lately.
Jared Serbu is Federal News Radio's DOD reporter. We'll post his interview later this morning at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.